body.
Welcome to the shit show.
Things are going to get weird.
Get weird.
It's your fave villain, Kale Lowry. And you're listening to Barely Famous, fuckers. Hello, everybody. It's Barely Famous. And today we have a special guest. I'm very excited about this one. It is different than any other episode that we've done on here. It's a little more serious, but it's in perfect timing for prom season, wedding season, good weather, summer's coming, all of that. I just want to remind you to drive safely, drink safely, all of the things, do all your activities safely, and go follow Dr. Hofflinger on TikTok and Instagram. Other than that, I have a couple updates. Now that I have been back from Tennessee for about a week, we are going to the Webby Awards this weekend. So excited. So after you're done listening to this episode, we are packing our bags and going to the Webby Awards in New York City. And we're so excited because I don't know how we got here. So hopefully the next time I go is for Barely Famous. In other news, I think yesterday was one of the, this entire weekend has been one of the most busy weekends of my life. Saturday, we had a bunch of stuff going on and we went to New Jersey for a birthday party. It was a really cool little place, different from what the kids are used to. It's called I Play America. Very, very packed on a weekend, so maybe don't take your kids on a weekend. And then yesterday, Sunday, we had a football game. We went to a gender reveal. We went to Natalie's mom's 70th birthday party, and then Lincoln had two basketball games after. And so it's just been kind of an eventful weekend. Today, I have a little meeting with someone for a potential new show idea or concept, so I'm hoping that it goes well. I think Kale and the Chaos would be a really great show. I don't know. Oh my gosh, you guys, I watched this Oprah segment and it was insane because this woman is on Oprah, right? And it was from 1999. And Oprah is talking to this woman who took her daughter to sell Girl Scout cookie delivered, like she was delivering them to the families, and she was familiar, her daughter was familiar with this family, like right outside their neighborhood. And the mom of the house that she was delivering the cookies to asked if her mom wanted to come in for a cup of coffee. And so the mom of the little girl was like, I didn't really know how to say no, I thought it was the polite thing to do, so I went in there. You know, she vaguely knew of this family but didn't, you know, she wasn't close with them or anything. And she goes on to say how she finds out that this is her husband's other secret family. And they have two kids together that were like 4 and 6 years old, or like 2 and 6 years old, something like that. And these are her daughter's half siblings. And she has no idea that her husband has been going back and forth between her house and this other home right outside their neighborhood. And I was just absolutely blown away by the story. But anyway, this is, I watched the video. It was an Oprah situation. And I just was like, what the actual fuck? I've never seen anything like that. So I just wanted to tell you guys about that. And if you guys haven't seen it, it's on TikTok. Oprah, the Oprah Winfrey Show has its own TikTok and it's on there. So you guys can go look. But I thought that was absolutely insane. Anyway, I hope you love this episode with Dr. Brian Hofflinger. I think he's so great. He's so informational and just super, super nice guy. So I hope you love this episode. And let me know in the comments on our Facebook group, like what you guys want to hear about. So I'll talk to y'all next week. Hello, Dr. Hofflinger.
Hello. Is it Kaylin?
Yes.
Okay.
You pronounced it correctly.
Thank okay.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. So there was one time that I think you might have been on live TikTok with maybe your daughter.
Yeah.
I commented and I was like, please come on my podcast. And y'all read the comment. So I was like, perfect. Like, hopefully we can set this up.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So All right. I just wanted to introduce you to anyone who may not know, you know, who you are. This is Dr. Hofflinger. He is a neurosurgeon, and I did have to look up exactly what a neurosurgeon did.
Oh, no.
Because I thought it was just brain, but it's brain, spinal cord, and nervous system.
Peripheral nerves, yep.
Okay. So how did you get into this, and how did you get on TikTok?
Oh, God. Let me try to give you an abbreviation. So the reason I got into neurosurgery is because I was signed up to go into marine biology. I love scuba diving, love the water. And my brother, Eric, who when he was 21, got in a car accident. And I had lived in Florida at the time, and I had just finished high school. I flew up to see my brother, who had been in a horrible accident. He was in a coma and had all these tubes coming out of his body. And just spending a couple weeks in the ICU, I just got really interested in neurosurgery, and I knew that's something that I wanted to do. So I dropped out of marine biology classes at University of South Florida before I even started. And I decided to become a neurosurgeon. I went to college and then medical school and then residency. That's how it happened. So it was because of my brother's accident. It was just because of my brother's accident.
Wow. Yeah.
And then when I was a second year medical student, my mom got brain cancer, and that was horrible. And that solidified it for me that I just knew it's what I needed to do. So
how do you get through? Because I was looking it up and I was scrolling through your TikToks. You essentially went to school for 15 years after high school.
Yes. So, it takes a while. So I was 33 or 34 when I finished, when I actually became a neurosurgeon.
So you were basically starting your career as old as I'm 31.
Right.
So you were starting now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So what?
So I started my residency in 92. When were you born?
92.
Okay. So I started residency right when you were born.
How do you get through 15 years? Like, is there ever a time through this whole process that you're like, I don't think I can do this. This is a lot of work. This is a lot of schooling. I don't want to continue.
Yeah. No, I definitely think that there is lots of times like that when you're just grueling through it. But, yeah, I just knew it was going to be worth it. It's something that I had a passion for, right? Just like you have a passion for it. You had a passion for it, and I knew that's what I wanted to do. And so you just keep that in mind, right? When you get down, you just have to stay focused on what your goal is, right? And that my goal was to be a neurosurgeon.
So were you able to, because I obviously saw that you're married and she's also a doctor and then you guys have kids together. So are you meeting your wife during this time and you're kind of in a relationship through all the schooling, or do you meet her after your schooling and you're in your career, or how does that work?
So we met between the first and second year of medical school is where we met.
Okay.
And I always sat up front and she sat on the way back, and somehow we met because I was a studious one. But then... you know, it's crazy, like during residency, so Cindy was doing her residency and we had three children during residency, and I was gone all the time. I'd be gone at 4 a.m, come home at 10 p.m. if I came home. And she really raised our kids and did a great job and had a career at the same time. But we would meet sometimes just in the hospital cafeteria to have dinner together. It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So it is kind of like Grey's Anatomy, because I was like, in Grey's Anatomy, they're having lives during their residencies and their fellowships. I'm like, that's just not possible.
Yeah.
I guess it is. It does.
But I don't know about all the affairs. I've never really noticed that going on as much as you see it on TV, but I'm sure it happens, but I never noticed it.
Do you watch Grey's Anatomy? Have you seen it?
God, I used to a long time ago, but I haven't seen it in years.
I think that would be a really, really good segment for your TikTok, is like critiquing their like neurosurgery, like what you should actually do versus what's on TV.
Yeah.
I love.
You like Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah.
after he died and what Derek Shepherd died, I can't stop watching.
Yeah. After that, it kind of goes downhill, but.
Does it? yeah.
So you share a story about your son passing away from drunk driving.
Yeah.
Was that really difficult, you know, as a parent and as a doctor, was that really difficult for you to kind of accept, you know, that he was drunk driving?
Yeah, I mean, it was a shock to us. I mean, we knew that they were probably experimenting with beer stuff, but my wife and I had no idea that these kids were doing vodka and stuff like that. So it's our just lack of knowing what was going on. But it's one of those things, when he died, there was just no way I was going to let my son die and not do something positive with it. And, you know, the local news media, because we're both doctors and I'm known here in Toledo, they latched onto that so quickly. And the first thing they wanted to do was a negative TV scene about how his alcohol level was so high, and, you know, they wanted to interview us. My wife said, you know, before we do any interviews, we want to bury our son, for God's sake, you know. So we just took it from there, and, you know, and we just started doing We got big on Facebook, you know, and parents sharing that letter that went out and started doing talks to high schools. We've probably talked to 160 high schools now, but through the years. But it's just one of those things that I wasn't ashamed of what he did, because life's life, right? You know, nobody's perfect and everybody makes mistakes. And, you know, yeah, Brian was great at a lot of things, but he made a mistake that night. The reason you can't learn from it, right? So I'm just trying to help people learn from his mistake is what we do with it.
Right. Yeah. So my mom is an addict and an alcoholic, and my mom's mm-hmm. sister was killed by a drunk driver.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if she was also intoxicated or not. I'm unsure, but yeah. Why is it so important to you is it because, you know, you went through this with your son to share his story?
I think so. And my brother, Eric, you know, I mean, that was a drunk driving accident. The other guy was drunk and you know, he could never walk and talk after he was 21 and eventually lived in a nurse home and died like 7 or 8 years ago. But it's something personal to me, and I think it's so preventable. And we're not preaching to people. I'm not trying to preach to tell people not to drink. I mean, it's the way our world is, and I go out occasionally and have drinks, but it's about learning something, right? About thinking ahead, having a plan, just anything that we can do to help adults and kids, you know, think about how not to get in a car accident. But it doesn't even have to be that. I mean, what if you get a DUI, you lose your license for a year, it interrupts your life. What if I did a TikTok on I won't go through the whole story, but I mean, you know, a girl who killed one person and hurt two other people in her car when she was drunk driving on New Year's Eve. I mean, she went to jail and that probably destroyed her life. So it doesn't have to be that you die. You could hurt somebody else or just lose your license or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
So
I'm actually, I love that you do that, because I think, like you said, life is life. And, you know, if people want to drink, I don't drink at all. It's just not something.
Oh, wow. You're unusual then.
Yeah. Huh? I think it's because of my mom, you know? So, you know, I watched her struggle with addiction. Yeah. And so I just stayed away from it, just knowing that I had a higher chance of becoming an addict myself. Yeah. So I just stayed away from it. But, you know, I don't shame anyone who drinks. That's not that's not my thing. However, right. I do wish that people would be more responsible with it, because I see so many people laugh or joke about like, oh, I drove drunk and it was fine. And it's not fine.
Those comments are so ridiculous. But that shows you I don't know. I don't want to say anything, but that shows you what kind of person it is that says stuff like that. Because it's not funny, you know. If your brother died, it wouldn't be so funny, would it? You know.
No, absolutely not. So, but I loved the TikTok that you did. You set up I guess you set up a tripod or something, and you took a drink every hour. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that for those who didn't see it? And I can also post it and share it for when this episode airs.
Oh yeah. So I just thought, you know, I don't think people realize how quickly you can get drunk, you know? And so I said, I'm going to just see what it takes. So I went downstairs, and my wife was watching a movie upstairs, and I would go down and have my drink and then go down and film. And I had one of those breathalyzers, right? And I would see what my alcohol level was. And I did it for 4 drinks. I had a 5-ounce glass of wine and I measured it. And then I did it 4 times, you know? So it took me 2 hours, 4 drinks to reach the legal limit. I was still just under the legal limit, but I'll tell you, after the second drink, I was buzzed, you can tell. And after the third drink, you can tell I was drunk.
Yeah.
And I was only like at 0.7 or something, 0.07, or was it 0.06? I don't remember, but some low number. I wasn't even close to being the legal limit.
Yeah.
So
we're already kind of slurring your words, and it was like a little slower speech.
It was a total eye-opening for me, because, you know, there's lots of times I'll bet you that you have 2 drinks and you go driving and you don't think you are, but the breathalyzer showed that I was, so it opened my eyes too, actually.
Yeah. So does your wife comment on the stuff? But these are like home experiments. So does she ever say anything about it?
No, but she thought it was funny, but she's tried the breathalyzer a few times too. Like, we'll go out and have a few drinks and we'll come home. She goes, let me see what my level is. But it's kind of like a...
No, but I love that, because it's teaching awareness. Where can we all buy breathalyzers? Because
you can buy them online.
Okay. My oldest son is 13. I have 4 boys, and my oldest son is 13. He's shown no interest in like experimenting in that way, but you know, I'm going to be the mom that is like, wait a minute, before you go out and when you come home, you better breath.
But you know what's cool? You know what's cool about it is that you can kind of learn your feeling. So I was trying to get people to use it so they can learn. You know, if I feel like this, I'm probably at a 0.0 whatever. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then when you're out drinking, you don't have it with you. You kind of know what it feels like. You know?
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
This show is brought to you by BetterHelp. The summer is coming, the weather is getting nice, and I bet you guys want to feel the same way as the weather looks. Just absolutely nice, pretty, feeling good, the weather's nice, all of that. So if you're like me, it's sometimes easy to get caught up in, you know, what everyone else needs from you and what everyone else wants and is doing. But you guys have to do for yourself too. And I think I'm a big, big advocate for if you fill your own cup, you can fill other people's cups. I say all this to say that I've benefited from therapy and I'm able to fill my cup in some ways from therapy, but also prioritizing myself has made it really, really easy for me to give back to my kids, to do other things for other people. And I really want to encourage you guys to try therapy. So if you're starting to think about therapy, I want to remind you that BetterHelp is a great option. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule, which is really nice. I hate having to drive to an appointment and then drive back from an appointment because sometimes they're too far. They just add a lot of time to my day. And I love that it's at home or at my office, wherever it's convenient for me. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time. So if one is not working out for you or if they don't have availability on your time, you can switch and there's no charge. So find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/barely today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/barely.
One of your TikToks, you talk about the longest surgery you did, and I think it was somewhere around like 15 hours.
Yeah, something like 15 or 16, yeah.
Is that on the brain or the nervous system or both? How does that work?
That was a large tumor on the brain, and there were two surgeons, so we would come and go, like, because you have to take breaks, you know, you can't stay in there the whole time.
Okay, that was my next question.
Yeah, so you can
tag team.
Yeah, so I mean, if there's two of you in there, then you just take turns, you know, and somebody works for a while, somebody takes a little break, and you can go get a bite to eat or use the bathroom and stuff like that. But
is there like a room, an on-call room, like in Grey's Anatomy, where there's like a room with beds that that doctors can go rest, or is that not real?
No, it's real. If you're spending the night, like if you have to spend the night in the hospital, like some surgeons stay in the hospital to take call, and so they'll sleep overnight and they'll have quarters for them to sleep. When we were residents, when we took call at night and stayed in the hospital, we would have rooms. As an attending, I've always lived close enough to the hospital that I can just drive in. So I've been at home. But yeah, there are on-call rooms.
Can you explain the residency versus a fellowship versus an attending? Because
yeah.
I never really understood the difference.
Yeah, so when you get out of medical school, right, so you have to do 4 years of medical school just to become a doctor. So then you're a doctor. Okay. And then from there, you have to go decide, what are you going to do? Are you going to be, you know, a family medicine doctor? Are you going to be a plastic surgeon, a neurosurgeon? Are you going to be an internist? So every residency has a certain number of years. So my residency was 7 years to do. And so to do 7 years, once you're done with that, then you're a certified neurosurgeon after you take your written boards. My wife's residency, she's a forensic pathologist. Her residency was 5 years long. So once you're out of residency, then you're able to do neurosurgery as a private doctor. You're not a resident anymore, so you don't have to have somebody supervising you.
Got it.
You know, now if you're going to do a fellowship, so say I did my neurosurgery residency and then I want to specialize in vascular, then you can go away and do a 2-year fellowship to specialize in brain aneurysms and AVMs and vascular anomalies of the brain. So you can always tack on a year or two if you want to even be more specialized.
So before you become an attending and you do a fellowship, could you do multiple different fellowships or no?
You could. It depends on how long you want to be in school, right? You know what I mean? So, I mean, most people just do one fellowship, like a spine fellowship or a pediatric fellowship where they specialize doing kids or things like that. So, I mean, neurosurgery is pretty specialized as it is, but there's always niches where people want to do more specialized surgery.
That makes sense. Okay, yeah. My aunt is also a forensic pathologist.
Oh, is she?
In Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
And I'm always fascinated. I'll ask her all kinds of things. I just think it's so cool. Are your kids also super fascinated with what you guys do, or are they just so used to it?
They're so used to it, and not really. None of them. It was kind of sad because not one of them went into medicine.
I was going to ask you.
No, and my son Brian that died, you know, we had the opportunity to read a lot of stuff that he wrote that we would have never read, and we went through stuff, but it was kind of sad. He wrote something that my dad's a neurosurgeon. I know I never want to do neurosurgery because he's never home, and he missed out on a lot of stuff. And so he said, for that reason, I don't want to be a neurosurgeon. So he, at least I know his reason. And the other ones just never really wanted to go into it, you know?
They don't want to do forensic pathology either?
No. Surprising, because Cindy has a super interesting career. I mean, you should have her on. She's got fascinating stories. Like, people just gravitate to her when she talks about it.
Oh, yeah.
She could have her own TV show, for God's sake.
Oh, I should send you this Instagram profile for her. She's a pathologist assistant, and she has, like, millions of followers because she, like, posts all of it, and it's so cool. And my aunt went to school with her, so she could have her own TV show, honestly.
Well, she watches, like, CSI incessantly, like, all these seasons, and she'll always go, it's so fake. I mean, we never wear our high heels and dresses in when we're doing autopsies and stuff, because all the stuff, she just criticizes it constantly.
So you do the Grey's Anatomy critique.
Right.
She can do the CSI and Law & Order SVU autopsy.
Because she was like CSI. That was her career, actually.
Oh, my gosh. That is so cool. I feel like if the pressure, if both my parents were doctors, I feel like I would have to be one, right? Like, I would have so much, like, a wealth of knowledge at home, I'd have to be a doctor, right?
I don't know. I have to believe that they just saw how I was never around, because I would never be home till later at night. I wonder if that's why they decided not to do it.
I have that on my question list. Like, knowing how long your hours are, how do you make a marriage and a family work through that?
I don't know. I think back about it. I don't know. We just did it. I mean, there's no answer I can give you. We just, we have always stuck together. We have our arguments like everybody and have our fights. But I mean, we just always stuck together. And I think especially after Brian died, things are even tighter than ever, because we go and give talks. We just went to Tennessee to give some talks to four high schools about this. And we went last weekend to a high school in Ohio. And then this weekend, we're going out to Cincinnati to give a talk on and off. And I don't know, something that we can do together. And my daughter, Christy, and Kevin sometimes come and help with the talks. And so, I don't know, it's kind of bonded us in a way. But even before that, I mean, you just make it work. I mean, Cindy's always been so supportive of me, and she's let me take the top position, I guess you would call it, you know, in our marriage. And she reminds me that she gave up her career for the kids, because after Christy was born, you know, she retired and gave up her career. And you know, she put a lot of time into it. She's an MD, PhD. I mean, she's been in school longer than I have and has more degrees than I have, but she gave that up for the kids. So we compromise back and forth constantly.
I think that's a huge factor in a successful marriage or relationship, is the compromise.
It is.
Without the resentment and the list. Like, you know, don't hold it over my head, but I don't mind sacrificing these things for you as long as you're willing to, you know, compromise in other places. And I think, you know, when you balance it out nicely, it can really work out.
I know. And then you think about, is there always something better than what is there now? And it's like, you know, you just got to make it work, I guess. I know. That's been our philosophy. So
yeah.
Right or wrong.
Right or wrong. I mean, if it works for you, there's fantastic.
Absolutely. There's no right or wrong.
So when you do brain and spinal cord surgeries, do you ever work on, like, the spinal cord injuries, like people who dive into pools or things that they shouldn't?
So that falls in the realm of trauma. Okay. And so a lot of people who, especially in summer months, will break their necks or their back and have spinal cord injuries. And, you know, when you have a spinal cord injury, a lot of times you can't repair it. I mean, you can't make the spinal cord better. If you're paralyzed, often you remain paralyzed. So a lot of that surgery just evolves around stabilizing the spine. So if you broke your back or your neck really bad, you need to stabilize it so then you can sit up in a wheelchair, or you can maybe walk again and start doing activities. So So a lot of times, unfortunately, people with spinal cord injuries, you can't make them better. You can just help them use what they have, you know.
So when someone's, what would be a permanent paralyzed situation? Like,
So here's a good example. So I had somebody, this was a long time ago when I was maybe 5 years in the practice. So it was a accident on the expressway, and there were a pileup of cars already, but they were stopped. And a semi came up, and he just hit at full speed the car right in front of him, and then hit the car in front of him. So the car directly in front of the semi truck, he broke his neck. He was a young guy, like 20 some years old. He broke his neck. He was paralyzed from the neck down. So I did his surgery on his neck. He was never going to walk or talk again. He was on use his arms or legs again. So he's paralyzed from the neck down, but he couldn't breathe either. So he had a permanent ventilator. So he was like Christopher Reeves. Remember Christopher Reeve, Superman? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he couldn't move his arms or legs, and had somebody feed him all the time, and had a breathing tube in. So that's how somebody, if you break your neck up high, you can be paralyzed from the neck down. The car in front of him, so his car got jammed in the car in front of him. That guy broke his back, and I operated on him as well, and he needed rods and screws and stabilization, but he was paralyzed from the waist down. So he was in a wheelchair. So the difference is when you you know, when you're paralyzed from the waist down, you can't move your legs anymore and you can't use your bowel or bladder. You don't know anymore if you have to go. When you get it in the neck, then you're paralyzed from the neck down. And that was horrible to watch him, because he just couldn't feed himself. There's nothing you can do, right? All you can do is nod your head up and down. And so he ended up dying. Actually, he chose to withdraw his ventilator.
Can they only do that in certain states?
Well, this was a huge thing. It was an ethics thing. So we had to bring the ethics committee in and the psychiatry, and they had to make sure that he was of his right mind. And he spoke to his family, and he said, I just don't want to live like this, you know, at my age. And so he decided to not live, and he had the ventilator removed and was sedated, and he passed away. But it was his decision, you know.
What?
But, I mean, stuff like that can happen if you... There's a lot of hoops you have to jump through, but I don't necessarily blame him. I'm not sure.
I don't blame him at all.
Yeah, I mean, and there's people who are like that, right? And they think it's the best life they've ever had. They write books, you know. I mean, I don't know how, you know, they have different machines they can use now to get their words across, and Elon Musk will help those people eventually with AI, I think so. Well, that's what he's trying to do. So people like that can interact with computers, and they can write books and interact with their world. I think it's a great idea.
I do too. That's
if it goes through, yeah.
Yeah.
So that kid would have been a good example of that, you know.
Wow.
So.
Okay. I never thought of a car accident for some reason. I don't know if it's me being naive or what, but I never thought of a car accident causing a spinal cord injury. I think that the first thing that I think of is like diving into a pool, diving into, you know, shallow water.
Well, you have that too. We see that all the time. Jet ski injuries or people diving into a pool and they break their neck. Yeah. I mean, that happens a lot, but there's all kind of ways you can do it.
I just never thought about it. Like I have a pool. I've had a pool for the last 10 years at my houses. And yeah. I literally am always telling the kids, like, you guys cannot do it. I never think about any other way to get a spinal cord injury. So I'm glad that you said that. So I can also tell my kids, like, this is why you have to buckle up. This is why you have to.
Yeah.
Have you seen spinal cord injuries, even though people have worn their seatbelts or typically?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, think of my son, Brian. So he hit a tree head on, probably going really fast. His airbags went off. He had his seatbelt on, but he broke his neck, among other things. He had a bad heart injury that wasn't going to, and he had some contusions, you know, bruising on the brain and stuff when they did the autopsy. But, you know, he had the airbag and everything. It's just, you know, if you're going a certain speed, I don't think it's inevitable, you know.
Okay.
I think at low speed, those airbags help a lot. But at high speed stuff, there's certain things they just don't help with. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good information to know. And I feel like especially this will air at a good time because it's prom season.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that'll be really important to just like have, you know, people remind their kids that this can happen and to be super careful.
So all your kids swim, I take it, since they grew up around a pool?
Yeah.
Because our kids...
He's two, so he's starting to get it. But... My elder three are fish. Like, they don't want to get out of the water.
And isn't that nerve-wracking when they're... Because all four of ours have always been around a pool, and it's nerve-wracking. I remember one time I left the gate open, and Kevin was two, and I went in the house. I'm all going, oh, my God, I forgot he's out there. And I thought I was going to walk out there and find him in the bottom of the pool, and thank God he wasn't. But that's the kind of stuff that can happen, you know? It's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so scary. My third son, he is... I don't know what the universe was giving me when he was born, but he's been literally swimming since before he was 2 years old. And he learned just by, I guess, watching everybody else. But so thankfully with him, but my last son, he's not, we got to get him to the survival swimming class or something, because I don't know about him.
Are you single and have swiped on those apps one too many times? Do you dread chit-chatting on dating apps, but also realize you probably won't meet your soulmate at the bar? Or maybe you went on a few dates, but then they ghosted you? Check out the You Up podcast from Betches Media.
Jared and Jordana give advice on everything from interpreting your confusing dating app interactions and helping you through your weird sexual encounters and more. They cover the ins and outs of every stage of the relationship, from casually hooking up to defining the relationship to meeting the parents and everything in between. Plus, they have real and honest conversations with celebrity guests to give you the inside look at their dating lives and help you spot red flags in a relationship. Jared and Jordana are here to make sure you don't die alone. The You Up podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe now to You Up with benefits on Apple and Spotify to get even more bonus content.
How do you feel about poor bedside manner by doctors? Like, do you spend a lot of time with your patients, like before and after, or is that, are you typically like behind the scenes and they don't ever really meet you?
Oh no, not at all. So I really am big on patient interaction and education, because you know, I hear about people that do go in offices and the surgeon never comes in or they don't review the film. So when I go in, I, just like this morning, I was in office, you know, I see a patient, I introduce myself, I talk to them, examine them, go over their films with them. Then we go over surgery if they're going to need it, and then answer any questions they have. And it's super important, because I think that's how you build trust with people, right? I mean, they want their surgeon to listen to them, to be involved in their care, to see what you're going to do. I mean, you know, you asked why I did these TikToks. I can tell you exactly why, because you brought up the point. Because years ago, I got so sick of people right before surgery, right when I would do surgery, I'd go and say hi to the person, right, and ask them if they have any questions. And they would ask me, now, what are we doing again? And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I spent so much time in the office going over things and going over the films, and they remembered nothing. And so then I started investigating, and like, people forget 80% of what they hear when they go to the doctor. Like, have you gone to the doctor recently or been to a doctor?
Yeah, and it's horrible, because if I literally don't take notes, I have no idea what happened.
So it's hard to remember all the stuff that we go over, right? And I realized that. So I said, you know, I'm going to make videos for my patients. So every condition that somebody comes in to see me for, I have a video that corresponds. So say you came in to see me for lower back surgery. So somebody came in today to see me for lower back surgery, and maybe they're going to go ahead with surgery, but I have a video of an MRI, me explaining an MRI that shows their condition, which is spinal stenosis, narrowing the spinal canal. And then if they're going to have surgery, I have a video of me explaining what I explained in the office, what the surgery would entail. I go over everything I see in the office, all the risks and benefits, and answer all the questions I think they might ask. And all that's in a 13-minute video. And that way people can go home and they can watch it when they're not nervous. And most of my people watch it 2 to 10 times, and that way they can, you know, if the kids weren't there, the kids can meet me and they can see what Dr. Heflinger wants. Why does Dr. Heflinger want to operate on my mom all of a sudden? So they can realize, I can explain to them in the video why I'm operating on your mom. Or if somebody lives in California, they just text the video to them and their daughter in California can watch me and learn about the visit. So my patients love it. And I have like 6 or 7 of these videos. And so my patients just gave it rave reviews. So my son got into it. He's got out of Fisher Business School at Ohio State, and he wanted to kind of try to make a business out of it. So he has surgeons that he makes the videos for. But he said, you know, we ought to see so many people love your videos in neurosurgery. Why don't we get on social media and just try and see if people like neurosurgery? So I said, no way. I'm too old to do that. Sounds stupid. I don't even know what TikTok is. Literally. I mean, I had no idea what it was. So we did a video or two, and all of a sudden, like, I'm not kidding you, like in 2 weeks, we had 100,000 followers. I'm going, oh my goodness. So then we started doing videos, and we just noticed that people liked them. And then we had a few go viral, you know, and then the one at Christmas had 19 million views. And I had like, you know, Daily Mail and everybody all.
That was the one that I saw that came up on my For You page. And that's where I was like, thank you so much for sharing this. Like, like I said, I don't shame anyone for drinking, but I just think it's so important.
Yeah. Well, who even knows why those videos go viral? You can spend an hour on one video, think it's going to be the greatest thing since peanut butter. It goes nowhere.
Yeah.
And then you do one that you're not even trying and it goes viral. So I'll never figure that out. But what I realized with that is we started doing this. And so, you know, a lot of people do other things, dancing and singing and stuff. But I wanted to build a platform that I can then use what I'm doing. So, you know, that letter of the graduating class is really doing well. And it's got like 11,000 comments and all kind of things like that. And people are interacting with it and parents are reading it to their kids before graduation. So I realized that I can use these social media things as a platform for fun too. You got to be fun and put some fun stuff out, but you can put some serious stuff that's beneficial, you know?
Yeah.
And so we've got like, in the past month, we've got like 100,000 followers on Facebook and we're at 50,000 on YouTube, which has kind of died. I don't know why. Instagram is the tough one. We cannot get going on Instagram.
I didn't know you had an Instagram. I only knew you.
Well, we've only got like 2,500 followers, but it's taken like, we put the same videos on that, but it just doesn't go anywhere. And we don't, there must be some algorithm, you know, getting into or something. So maybe if we get into it someday. And
I'll share your, whenever this airs, I'm looking it up right now. I'll share your Instagram too. I didn't know you had one on here.
But it's funny, even like YouTube, we were getting like 1,000 followers a day, and then it just dies down. It's really hard to know how these things work. But people are noticing it is the cool thing, you know. I mean, you know, people stop me here or there and say, "Oh, I love your TikToks. Keep doing them." And it's that little bit of encouragement that keeps you going, even though you feel silly making some of them. Mm-hmm. People are really engaging and they're encouraging, Everybody's so supportive, except for there's always those few out there with the big negative comments. I just did a TikTok on because it's just, you know, I try to get people. You can't live your life in fear of what other people are going to say about you. I mean, literally, you can't. I mean, you'll never get your word out. I know, but you can't. People will never hear you if you're going to live behind someone else's bad comment, you know?
Sometimes the negative ones stick out a little bit louder, I guess. They're a little louder than the nice ones, which is really...
Because then you start second guess yourself. Then that's the problem. Don't second guess yourself. Like, you knew what you were doing when you made it. So why would you second guess yourself off of one or two people's, you know, they have nothing better in life but to just criticize you.
That's true.
You know, I mean, you must get a ton of it. Cause
oh, I do. Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, when you get to be your level, I'm sure you get tons of people and you just got to ignore it.
I try really hard not to read it.
That's the best thing.
It's not good for my mental health, but I'm also not a doctor. I feel like if I was a doctor, people would be nicer to me. So I saw this TikTok of any doctors I find, I always follow them because I just think it's so fascinating. But I saw this one TikTok and she asked all these cardiologists, what is one thing you would never do as a cardiologist? And
oh yeah,
all of them said they would never smoke. So what is one thing that you would never do as a neurosurgeon?
Smoke. I think smoking is just the worst thing because there's so many... It just ruins your life. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously it's good. It can give people high and it's an addiction and they like it. But I mean, so bad for your body is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I mean, my dad died from smoking. I just think back then it was the vogue. I mean, when my parents were kids, that was the vogue. But it's so bad for your lungs and your body and your health. And I mean...
But does it affect the spinal cord or your nervous system?
I don't know as if much. You know, smoking can lead to heart disease and poor blood circulation. And that poor blood circulation can lead to problems with your brain and spinal cord. But you see what I'm saying? So I don't think smoking directly affects necessarily your spinal cord or brain that I know of, but it's the other things that causes the blood vessel disease. So your blood vessels get more narrowed and then you don't get good blood supply to your organs, including your brain and spinal cord. So that's where it can lead to problems.
Okay. Well, I mean, that makes sense to me.
Don't tell me you're a smoker now after
I'm not.
I'm not criticizing anybody that smokes.
I'm not a smoker, not a drinker. I never got into any. I did try to smoke one time when I was a kid, but it just never, I never got it. Like, I never.
Well, you know, it's funny. My mom, when we were young, I always remember out on our back porch, she had us drink a beer, smoke a pipe, and smoke a cigarette. And all of us kids, I remember sitting there, and she would do it several times, and not one of the five kids in our family smokes a pipe or, we drink a little bit. We're not alcoholics, always right, alcoholic. Right. But I'm just saying, it's funny how she introduced us, because I hated the taste of smoke, and it's something stuck with us, because none of us smoked.
Yeah,
it was kind of weird.
It's weird how now I think Gen Z really loves to vape, and I just don't understand that.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, my kids have. I don't know. It's one of those things that they do. I mean, I don't know anything about it, honestly, vaping, if it's bad or not, how bad it is. So I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor at all. I only have my undergrad, so.
Right. We can only control what we do, right?
Yes. So talk to me really quickly about your book and where can people purchase it?
Oh, yeah. So my book, I could not, after Brian died, I just couldn't sleep at night, you know? And that's the only time in my life ever that I've taken a pain medication or sleeping pill was when Brian died, because I couldn't sleep at night. I mean, we were awake for 3 days in a row. I just could not sleep. But I would get up in the middle of the night on my cell phone because my wife makes a joke of it. That's how I wrote the book, on my cell phone, like this. Because I don't know, really, not into computers. But I wrote that whole book, and honestly, this book just came to me. I swear to God, I woke up one night and I just had this. Yeah, I just woke up and the book was in my mind. Every chapter I knew I wanted to name it. I knew what I wanted to say. And then I would just write every night for a month or 2 months. And literally it just poured out of me. And then it was over and the book was done. And then there's no way I could write that again. I don't even know how I did it, because the emotion's gone, you know? And then I didn't know what to do with it. And I don't know. I mean, how do I know how to get a publisher, you know, when you hear about all these books in New York and stuff. So I had no idea what to do. So I got a guy to help me do, edit it, you know, the grammar. And then he knew a small publisher and I got a small publisher and we just self-published it, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's done pretty well. I mean, I think I've sold like 10 to 15,000 copies through the years, but a lot of people still buy it. And we just have the books at home now because we just lost our publisher because his wife died during COVID.
Oh, no.
And it was so sad. And so he's retiring. So he's just a little one-person publisher. So now I have no one to publish the book. So I have like 300 copies left at home, and then I'm out. So I have to find a publisher because we got all these
mine.
We've got all these orders coming in now. My wife just said today we're running out of books. We got all these orders coming in because this is the time of season that my book is mentioned in one of the letters, and people are, you know, buying it. So I just don't, you know, we're small time. I have no idea how to connect with anybody. And I guess I could try to do it at Amazon. But yeah, if you have somebody, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, of course. I'll email you. I'll do an introductory email. And if they can't help you, I'm sure they can refer you to somebody who can. And also there is Amazon self-published. That's an option. But I'm not super familiar with Amazon publishing. But I'll put you in touch with Post Hill.
I think the book has a lot of potential. It never got out there as much as it should, but it's very emotional.
On it.
Yeah, I never wanted to do it because I didn't want to like try to act like I'm monetizing something. You know what I'm saying? Me, I got to get over that. That kind of cheapened my message by trying to sell my book. But maybe there's a way. I don't know. But have you read any of it? Probably not.
I haven't. No, I actually just saw today on there that you had one.
Well, give me your address and I'll send you a couple copies. But it's very emotional. You'll see. I mean, I'll just leave it at that. But in the first chapter, too, if you don't cry, I'll give you $100.
No, I will cry because I'm a crier. But also, I wanted to mention what you said. When the emotion is gone, when I wrote my first book, I was in a very similar position to you in that, like, I would just write and not know. Yeah. Like, it was almost like a therapy or a journal. And I had no idea what the heck I was going to do with this after I was done. Right. So I was like, am I ever even going to publish this? Like, what am I doing with this? And so it's so hard now because all of that stuff is on paper and I never think about it.
Yeah.
All the emotion is gone, but like, it was so real and raw when you're writing. And
100%.
I definitely think maybe if you don't want to do the videos, maybe have like your son do a video on it because I feel like it's really important and you guys could, you know, sell your book. It's not about monetizing it, but you know, it's more about the message.
Yeah, I mean, it has a lot of, at the end of every chapter, I have these good summary messages. And it's so weird because it sounds like you've been through what I went through. You know, when you have a tragedy or any kind of something in your life that you're so emotional about, your mind is different. I mean, I was so focused. Things are clearer. I mean, things are clearer to you. I mean, it's like, what do they call that when you're in flow? You ever hear that? So when you meditate, there's different levels of meditation. You can get in flow, like the most productive people in the world get in this flow. That's what it's like. You know, your mind just becomes so hyper-productive and clear, and things are just so... And then the emotion disappears, and then it's like you're back in a fog a little bit. You know, it's like, it's weird.
So have you thought about writing again?
I have. I just don't know what... It's just one of those times in my life that, you know, I don't know if I could do it again.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe someday.
Well, I'm going to put that into the universe for you that you're going to write again. For anyone who doesn't know where to follow you, what is your TikTok? What is your Instagram? And any other projects that you want to tell everybody about?
My son Kevin isn't here. I think it's Dr. Heflinger on TikTok. I think it's Dr. Heflinger on Facebook and YouTube. I think it's Dr. Heflinger on everything. I'm guessing.
It's definitely that on TikTok and Instagram. I just checked.
I think it's Dr. Heflinger.
What's the title of your book?
The Night He Died.
The Night He Died. Okay. Yeah. And people can send you messages on TikTok and Instagram?
They do. And we try to answer some of them as much as we can. There's just so many that come in. It's hard to answer everything all the time. But I do look at them all.
You answered one of mine and also my live comments. So I appreciate that. I absolutely loved having you on. And if you ever need anything or want to come back on the podcast, let me know. I'm happy to have you, and I will definitely post your TikTok, your Instagram, and I'll email you after this with my publisher.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Well, it was great meeting you and nice talking with you.
It was awesome. Tell your family I said hi. I know they don't know who I am, but I watch you guys on TikTok. Uh-huh. Let everyone know I said hello.
I will. My daughters would love you.
Aww.
See what's streaming free all month long during Amplify AAPI Voices on Pluto TV. Watch shows like Kim's Convenience with Simu Liu and amazing movies like Meet the Patels and Jason Momoa in Braven. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download Pluto TV on all your favorite devices for free. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.